I was born bold.
Melbourne Airport Parking. We're here to get you there. Book now at melbourneairport.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us. Kayla George will join us in our last hour. We'll get back to the cameo playing Jason Richardson and see if we can find a little winner on the weekend as well. And we'll also give him some feedback on his performance as the first live cameo in Whippy Watson. And the suggestions, you people have got this and you understand it and we love it. So keep sending them through. Shane Warne's name's been suggested that maybe Whippy was also a fat little leg spinner. So maybe Warney gets written in here at some stage. But before we do that, we've been looking forward to chatting to this man because we don't get the opportunity too often because geographically it's very hard. But Basil Zemplis is a superstar and he's going to be on your screens on Sunday night at 7 o'clock with the Ben Cousins documentary Coming Clean. And Baz has been good enough to join us. So welcome, Basil. Great to talk to you.
Gaz, Tim, good morning to you guys. Yeah, geographically challenged, but nice to be with you.
It is indeed. I'd imagine you've been talking about this whole thing, you know, non-stop, given the level of interest will be high. Ben Cousins is a fascination for so many people, but there would be some that said that that story had passed, but clearly it hasn't. What are we going to learn on Sunday night?
I think, Gary, probably the biggest takeaway from this is that Ben's battle continues. His life is a battle. It's a battle every day. What he craves now more than anything, and you know, obviously crave is an interesting word given where he's been and what he's done. What he craves is some normality. You know, he was a superstar. He was the biggest figure in WA football. I can't explain how big he was, but he was Modra-like, I guess, for the equivalent to South Australians. And that was in a midfield running around with Chris Judd, so it tells you how big he was in the West. And he crashed and fell so far. What he wants now is some normality. But it's a battle for him to find that normality because he's still fighting a battle with addiction. The biggest difference, I think, now in Ben Cousins 10 years later, he knows what he needs to do. He knows what he needs to leave behind. And he puts his hand up and takes the blame for where he is now. I don't think he always did that. I think there were other people he had to blame or fingers to point in other directions. There's none of that anymore. He knows that he is where he is because of what he did to himself. But trying to climb out of that, trying to get back to normality, trying to just lead a normal, everyday mum and dad sort of life, that remains a battle. But it's a battle he's fighting and trying his hardest with. That's the best way to explain it.
Basil, good morning to you. In the setup of this interview, how did all that transpire? Were you speaking to Ben over a long period of time? Did he come to you and say, look, there's some more to my story, there's something more to my story that I want to tell people? How did all that transpire?
It started actually, Tim, with a conversation with his dad, Brian, like I've come to admire greatly. We were chatting and just in the course of our conversation, I said, look, yeah, I often think about Ben, as does just about everybody in WA, because he was such a large figure in our lives and especially working in the footy media. Ben was our beat, if you like. And I said, you know, and he was in jail at the time. And I said, you know, I often think if he could get out, get himself into a reasonable state and just start to tell his story, it's such a valuable and powerful story, however it ends or whatever the ending is. I mean, there's so much to learn from it. I think, you know, people would want to hear. And that brought a bit of a smile to Brian's face. And he explained to me that what he was most suffering from, Ben, as well as being in jail, was a really low self-esteem. Which is hard to comprehend, I guess, because he was such a giant figure. But he had no self-esteem. He had very low self-esteem. And Brian said, do you mind if I mention this conversation to Ben? And he did. And then he said, would you mind if Ben catches up with you when he gets out of prison? Could you have a bit of a chat to him? And I said, I'd be only pleased to. And it had been 10 or 12 years since we'd spoken. And with that conversation, Ben sort of came to the realisation that maybe he needed to explain where he was at, why he was where he was, and what it was that he was looking for. And in an attempt, I think, quite a cathartic experience to be asked about drug use, addiction, how he'd got to where he had got to, and try and use that as a bit of a way forward. And so in a nutshell, that's why Ben decided that he wanted to talk and wanted to tell the story of where his life had gone. And that's sort of where the story picks up. It's not about tainted premierships or what happened at West Coast or those sorts of things. It's about where Ben Cousins is now and what's happened to him in the 10 years since he last spoke in that documentary, Such Is Life.
And where is he now, Basil? Like, in terms of his sort of living arrangements, how's he... From that, I saw the short grabs that you had in the promos and stuff. It looked like he was sitting on maybe some public transport. So how's he tracking from that point of view now?
Yeah, it's not brilliant, and it's confronting. It hits you right between the eyes. I mean, this bloke had the world at his feet. And now, on any given night, there's no certainty where Ben Cousins might find himself. He drifts around.
That's sort of homeless, isn't he?
Well, look, he doesn't sleep on the streets, but he drifts around from you know, one mate's place to another over, you know, any given period. And what he needs more than anything now is a sort of permanent roof over his head. He's trying to find that. He's trying to get that. He's trying to get those things in his life. He had a bit of a win the other day. He's got his driver's license back, and that gives him the opportunity to move his life forward. But this is, I mean, look, it's warts and all on Sunday night, and his life is a battle. This is the biggest fight of his life, more so than 10 years ago when, you know, he was still a celebrated figure even back then, and that documentary was about the party life, and there seemed to be some glamour to the Ben Cousins story even back then. Now we're talking about a bloke who wants to see his kids as regularly as possible, who needs to do the things that he needs to do to be able to bring that to the fore, and he needs to find somewhere to live, he needs to find a job, he needs to find some normality. And it's hard to believe we're talking about a Brownlow medalist who was the captain of the West Coast Eagles, but that's where Ben Cousins is, and that's the battle that is the Ben Cousins story.
That's on Sunday night on Channel 7. Is that right, Basil? It's going to be aired?
Sunday night, Channel 7, around the country. It's pretty powerful, Tim. And I think, look, a lot of people say, you know, is this a story that really needed to be told? Did you need to get back into it? And again, I remind people that Ben wanted to tell the story, and it is warts and all. It's not sugar-coated. It'll hit you between the eyes. But I think there's something that we can, you know, look, there are a lot of people who suffer with drug addiction, but Jane Smith and John Smith, who might be drug addicts, we don't tell their stories because we don't know who they are, but we know who Ben Cousins is. And if the story of addiction and the perils, the highs and the lows of it can be told and illustrated through Ben, then so be it. And I think if nothing else, there's some valuable takeaways for other Aussie families who might be going through something like this or might have a family member who's teetering on the edge. And maybe Ben can help them.
Indeed. And just before we let you go, Basil, when you do become the mayor of Perth, what will be the first thing that you activate?
You know, what I really want to get happening is SEN Breakfast broadcast live into Perth. I think we're ready for it over here.
Basil, this is what you could do. You need to change the time zone in Perth. I think you're the man that can do it. Change the whole lot. Then we're away.
We haven't got daylight saving yet. We're a fair way behind over here, but we're getting there. Good on you, boys. Thanks for the interest.
On your
best. Good to talk. Basil Zemplis, Coming Clean, the Ben Cousins documentary. It's on Sunday night at 7 o'clock, and I suspect we'll be talking about it on Monday morning, Wispy. Very quickly, we've got to get to a break. I know Whippy Watson's going crazy. It is going nuts. I think Damien Barrett wants that piece of this, a little bespectacled little 8-year-old that goes up to talk to Whippy Watson for the local school paper. But this, I like this. In the western town of Dimbooka, a lone figure, Nasty Ned, dressed in black, sits at the saloon bar nursing his drink and listening to the honky-tonk piano. Suddenly, the saloon doors swing open and in strides player agent Picos Pickers. Ned, he says, I want that kid for my stable. Ned jumps to his feet. That fat kid's mine. You'll get him over my dead body. That can be arranged. And he's not fat, he's just jolly, says Pickers. With that, Ned leaps at Pickers and renders him senseless with a series of pinches, scratches and elbows. Pickers lays dazed on the floor while Nasty Ned makes for the door, looping onto his favourite black stallion, BT. He gallops off up the main street, firing his six guns in the air and yelling, "Watson, you barge ass, I'm coming for your signature."
That's two episodes
that
in that.
He's magnificent. Whoever sent that in, you've got to leave your name, please. We'll get to a break. On Seven, mate, tonight, by the way, you can watch St Kilda and Geelong, a classic from round 14, 2009. I think that's the game when they were both undefeated going into that match. So that'll be a beauty. Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Back with more after this, Whippy.